the heat of the day, the people are mad in the day and day. If the earth set themselves and the rulers they promised the devil against the Lord or against his anointed, saying, and if they set man, the Son, and cast away their court from, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh, the mortal heaven to live. Then shall he speak a little bit of wrath and vexed him toward his way. Then I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree, the Lord has said to me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of thee, and I shall give thee the deed, for I am inheritance. And the uttermost part shall be yours for thy possession. Thou shalt bring them to the land of Ireland, that you will be like a proper vessel. Be quiet now, therefore, O ye gates, be instructed. Serve the Lord with fear, enjoy his friendly. Kiss the sun that can be angry when you perish in the wind. When his wrath is kindled up the river, that the fourth black lake be reset in the heat of any ground. In a little his wrath will be kindled, not just about the degree of wrath at the time of it. In a while his wrath will be killed, kindled. All they have put their trust in him. And I believe that he lives in Acts chapter 4 by this time is full. The rest of the world Acts chapter 4. Reading number 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea, all that is in them. Now we come to 14, from Psalm 15. Who by the mouth of that servant David, that has blinded the heathen nation, and the people imagined vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. Right. Well, the truth against thy holy child, we thou hast anointed for the terror, and brought his child with the gentiles of ever before Israel. They're gathered together, but in what the right hand and thy counsel is going to be cool, just be done. We follow the during the week and section of these great events of prophecy that will take place, and I thought we might find out. Indeed, last night I hear it, or that the conclusion given to this in Texas Mark is the Christ to us, the attitude of man towards God. Not all men are good, but man in general has this attitude. It's the attitude of the devil. You find the nations gathered together against the Lord and against his anointing, and it was anointed with Christ. And if it has placed that bad love and cast away that poor blood, give you a picture of the rebellion of the human race against God. And for way back, listen in the second Psalm. Then in the fourth chapter of Acts, long after Christ was crucified, that Psalm is quoted in reading it now. So there is something of a fulfillment of this. That is about the three ways. But gather together, we saw this in the region, no further than that. Our friends are children. And the Christ was crucified because he is living. It was spoken there as a partial fulfillment, but the real fulfillment takes place still in the future. And then before the peculiar is that man is just naturally a level against the Father. If I am in thee, truly the Lord can do anything the Lord can do no more. And there are two of them, by the view of your letter. There is an attitude of rebellion in the human race, in man, death. And besides the reason his crime might be the effect of man, rise up in open rebellion against God. But that has been noticed by some of the verse we believe in. You find rebellion that is a sevenfold way. If you like to take down words, well, take these seven. First others the fact of the value made. That man has set himself against God, against the law, and against his Christ. It's the fact of the value. That's secondly, it's the beauty of the other guy. But then why did he even leave? By the way, the word Jesus is all that foolish. It's the word 50 days. The word David foolish. It's that the same word as the Bible. Doesn't mean Jesus is in that real of him, but the savage, he is simply the nation of years. If you find out the problem, what will actually tell you that those nations were gathered together against Christ. That is crucifixion. So that first one is the fact of the rebellion, and that's the beauty of the rebellion, and that's the focus of that rebellion was of against the law. He was the focus, and it's the side. There's the focus of that rebellion. And then you read about the folly of the rebellion, for God didn't have his laughing at all. And then you find
no hand was laid on that. No judgment
pull out a graph of that, it's beautiful that you fall on that.
By the grace of God, some people will wake up in the spirit of all of it.
good to God before I did whatever to believe. Now it says in the second Psalm, they mocked him so far and put it to scorn. But it says, with man, thou shalt break him with a lot of iron. Thou shalt dash him in pieces like a potter's vessel. And you remember when you turn to the New Testament, you read in different places, there's a lot of iron that's going to be used. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to use that rod that smite the enemy with by the number of baptisms of Revelation, chapter 2, number chapter 16, where he shall rule with a lot of iron. Well, you hear the second Psalm, that day is coming. And all that looks on to the future. Then God will rule the land. That land is still lying ahead. In the meantime, it says in this Psalm, in verse 6, yet have I set my kingdom on the holy hill of Zion. I will declare to thee, the Lord said to thee, God, my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask for me that should be the heathen of thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth of thy possession. Thou shalt break them in with a lot of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces, like a potter's vessel. It says before this, they shall laugh at him. He shall laugh at them. They light up in the vessel against him. He is speaking of his lack and vexing in the conscious pleasure. He said, in the meantime, you laugh at him at Calvary. You mocked him when he sang on the criminal's cross. You thought he had all his own way. You got rid of him and thought all his own or whatever. But you are blinded to the truth. He hung on a cross that where you put it. But I put it up as well. I've sent him on my holy hill of Zion. You humiliated him, but I've exalted him. The one that came into your blindness, you rejected, is the one that I highly exalt, the highest place in the universe. And all the earth, the whole world is his. It's his inheritance. And we Christians have learned from the New Testament scriptures that the whole world is his inheritance. By infinite love and kindness, he shared that inheritance with us as Christians. We are his heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs of Christ. The man, the one that men slight and reject, is the one who has all things under his power and his authority, who leads his power and glory. So you see, it doesn't pay to take a stand against him. It's ridiculous when you stop to think of it. Human beings defying the Almighty God and raising himself up against him in the belly and mocking him and laughing and scorning him as he did when he was healed when he was healed. That's the faith. That old Henry used to sing years ago, said something like this, that said, all seeing powerful God, who can but be content? Who that drives your equal stripes of gospel in the end? How shall a guilty man contend with such a God? None can even escape but through the Savior's blood. There is a way to escape from this group, and there's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we talk about whom we would talk about a person, God is murderous, the man is wiped off the earth in the day of judgment. But that's not the end. The Bible says, after he's wiped off from the earth, eventually God will raise him from the dead. He'll stand before his throne. Revelation chapter 20 tells us. And he's going to be judged for his guilt, judged for his attitude to Christ, judged for his sins, and for the foolish who rejected the Savior. He'll answer to God about it. In that day, he consents to have consigned everlasting provision. The Bible doesn't say one uncertain word in regard to his tremendous suffering. But he urges men to turn to God now. Not to wait till God laughs at you. see just taking God to hell. That's the way it's described. Not that he won't. The Bible says God's judgment displayed to him. He doesn't want to that. He's put it off, put it off. Said he's slow to anger, slow to that. And it said he's not willing that any should pass. All should come to the pen. He's putting it off and putting it off. That's why the gospel is still being preached after almost 2,000 years since Christ was crucified. How long would you put up with people that murder your own dear son and befriended you and tried to win them for 2,000 years? God's a God of infinite patience, far beyond human understanding. God is holy and pure. He can't allow men to get away with sin. If that's what you want, that's what will happen. I have exalted him. You may despise him. I have set him on the holy of Zion. And I urge you, in repentance and humility, to turn to him. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trust. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and yet perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled in the Lord. Blessed are all they that put their trust in. Though the old days was the custom when a man lay, the people came to the peasant, bowed out and kissed his feet. And here that's used in this picture, kissed the son. When Joseph became the ruler of Egypt, as they went, they bowed out before him and kissed his feet. And God purged mankind to kiss the son. They killed him once. But God had a remedy for this. He could change that. Kissing, killing, and kissing. When you turn into the fatness to him, and it's saving free. That depicted the things that the truth might be said about him. I was a lot to say about the future day of judgment. Talked a little about the last week. You find much of it everywhere in Scripture. Now, what are those bombs and cords that made people so rebellious? It says in verse 3, that was break their back asunder and cast away their cords from it. They have an objection to being tied down by those bands and held tight by those cords. That they break those bands asunder and cast away their cords from it. What are those bands? What are those that place such rebellion in the human heart? Why does that man despise God? That's what you have to do. Why does he place himself up against him? There's nothing he finds. And you ought to know he can't do it. You can't get away, you find God and get away with it. Why doesn't he? Let me read it. Turn to the 11th chapter of Hosea. You can read it to this board. The only place in the Bible where you find those same two words together. Bands and cords. This is what it says. Verse 4. The book of Hosea, chapter 11. I drew them with cords of a man, with bands of love. And I was for them as they that take off the yoke of their jaws, and as they keep them. And what God is saying, he's taught here, directed to people, and what did he say? He said, I drew them with cords of a man with bands of love. What are those bands and cords? They are the love of God in Christ Jesus. That's what they're telling you. Those are the things people can't stand. The bands and cords of God on the sound to are not some heavy chains put on people who don't deserve to be in prison. They're not so fearful of torments that an angry, cruel God might put on your hands. He bears it for God. He gives you the love of God in Christ Jesus. believe the highest Lord of glory, the Father of the universe, to come down to become an ordinary human being. How you and I can tell. He became a man, was born a baby, and he came to earth to the level of humanity. Just how we were in loneliness and weakness. He came to the tell us that he was not way above us and standing around without interest in our affairs. He came down to where we were, in all our sin and need and help. Became a man. The wonderful story of the death of the eternal God became a man to me. It's often that we use as an illustration. He was an athlete, he loved birds. And he tried to get near them, and those birds are scared, they fly away from him. And he says to himself, I think he's all about said it several times. In his early days, the bird said to him, if I could only be a bird myself, and I could come near them, would be afraid of. That you become like fear. Well, that's the purpose he did for God conceived. As he told about his dream about it, which is like an only become exactly like fear. I can show him how much I love him. I can prove to him that. You're way above that thing, I'm way beyond him, and I'm interested. So he came from heaven's glory to earth. He took upon himself lonely man. That lonely man in every act of his showed the love that blessed in the heart of God. He did miracles to ease people's troubles. He met their needs when they were hungry. He spoke of wonderful things of truth. He told them how the glory that was to come. And told them how God loved the mankind. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten. That's what we back to the poor world, the man can't stand. They're not some feeble hardship. They're a love of God. And I do them. I do them because of man's bad, but I do them. You know, God, my God, God of all life, but can drive you to that glory. He can beat you, send you to hell, he wasn't anything, that's his business. Isn't that the glory? He may draw you on the person's response, may you drive you to the response, may you draw from the response. The Lord Jesus said in God's gospel, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men to me. If the love of God doesn't draw you, then nothing ever will. And you find here that this love of God is going to draw you, people make them levels against you. That's what you have in the second time. When you can't speak and you're lower than them, no matter how you try. If you are offended, what love is showing you about the power of God you can get. And that's the picture you have here. Man in his pride and sorrow has to learn that rejecting God by being placed on the lowest possible level of decency. That's why there is no mercy for the Lord. Or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 20, you have any man does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, then it be a curse. And the Lord God. Don't you let men have been a whoremonger? Or a drunkard? Or a profligate? Or whatever else? You'll be saved no matter how many sins you commit. Whether you reject the love of God for this person. If any man does not love the Lord, you let him be a curse to the Lord God. If that love and God eternal God from the throne to die for you, to take your sin and guilt upon yourself, that doesn't you know, all the cows ever heard, nothing of ever. Here they find these nations that are being drawn by it, rebelled by it. They've stuck so low that love has no meaning for them. Why? Because the love of God tells you, of course, that you're decent. He tells you you're not good enough the way you are. That's what drowned man rejects. He's good enough the way he is himself. He doesn't need anybody else. It's humiliating. To accept God's grace. That Bible says, the vengeance of the Lord is my shepherd. So many of you have to want to save him. When you hear the Lord and your shepherd, you're confessing to be on the sheep. That's to humiliate. Have you ever met anybody boasting he's a sheep? They're like to boast, they're lions or tigers or elephants or something. You ever met anybody boasting he's a sheep? The sheep are silly, helpless, foolish creature. And the only way you can have a shepherd by being a foolish, helpless, silly creature. You have to be a sheep before you can have a shepherd. too much for man to take. He'll reject. I'm not saying all men of God, but I accept it. Praise God, the love of God which is ours. We thank God for the depth of our being that somehow has reached our heart. But nevertheless, it's true in the second time telling that man lies in the rebellion against God, not because of God's cruelty, not because of God's arbitrary of doing. No, he rebels against God because God shows him love. That's why. Let's cast those bad thoughts, those courts of evil. We don't want to be tied up with it. Even if love is the one we can, we want to do what we like. That's the attitude of people. We want to do what we like. It's the same way in the home. Many homes now with children, they don't want to love. They want to go their own way. They'll do what they like. They'll tell you right to your face, your children. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. In spite of your advice and your love, and they know better. The same actions are found in thousands and millions of homes for present time. The Bible says they're wretched world. Parents are not good enough. The dying back numbers in the eyes of many young people. It's the same attitude man has towards God. He rejects love when he thinks he knows better. That's what you have here. He's a level against God, his master's love. That's the cords and bands he wants to cast away. Now, of course, there are cords and bands. They're cords and bands. They're meant to tie. Aren't they? Don't you want your children tied to you? They're not just going to have them. They're going to have them in love. A love with an unconditional so one. Don't you want them near? You want to keep them close to you? You want to use the bands of love to keep them near you? You want to drive your children away? Or you want to do all that by being kind and loving? And that's a band in a way. Your children acknowledge them. I don't want to get my tail. Of course, they love me. And so it ties them. It keeps them and do about me like it goes where they want to go. So it's a bond that holds them in it. It's meant to. Yes, there are bonds to the love of God. It ties you. It keeps you near to Him. It keeps you away from all the love and misery around. It keeps you fellowship with those who love the Lord and all that. Those are bands that tie you rather than them. But they're bands of love. They're cords of love that draw the heart to Him and draw us to each other. There is no sweeter bond than to bind a soul of love in this world or any other. And there's no greater drawing bond, no tighter binding cord than the love of God in Christ Jesus. It keeps you from drifting away. It keeps from burning your own self, and it keeps from the haunts of sin. It buys you close to Himself in dependence and prayer and need. It buys the other and it buys. It's meant to be divine. The bands of love, the bands of love, of course, for man. That's what to keep you close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep you close to Him and away from all things with this arm and this deep grave. That's what you have in the sense. Those are the bands that people are leveled against. They try to charge God with cruelty because God does so. So why does God allow this? Don't want to blame it on Him. Go ahead and blame it on Him. Not going to do it when you stand before Him. You can do it now. When you stand before Him, you'll bow your knees and utter your belief. And wonder you have such a fool as to reject Christ as your Savior. But you won't be a fool. I presume that you're there. No answer. There's nothing so valuable, nothing so worthwhile, nothing so real, nothing so precious than the love of God received in the soul. It binds you if you want to be bound to Him. At the moment when you're saved, you want to be near Him. You want to be with others. You want to keep away from the world that is set. And you find that those cords instead of that which restrain your life actually enlarge it, unfold it, and empower it with religion. That the believers find it, they'll find that the love of God that keeps you from sin is not a hardship, but a deep, abounding bliss. And so, may you and I, we are Christian men, we remember this. We are part of the battle of God. The Lord said, now, don't fight against. If you do it, if you insist on having a bad point, then glory of salvation, that by the sound of the trumpet of the sky, the judgment for the sweet, this earth. Thou shalt break the door of the land, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a pot of the vessel. Be wise now, therefore. Serve the Lord. Rejoice with them. Kiss the Lord. Let you perish from the wicked. Bless them. Of all they that put their trust in. I guess all of us tonight probably are those blessed, but maybe are not all that religion. I suppose we're very strong, we are perfect. Not nearly as strong as it should be said. You could not possibly emphasize, you could not possibly enlarge or exaggerate on the feebleness of the doom of a sinner to our own eternity. An eternity of sadness and suffering and punishment and loneliness and hopelessness. Can you dream of it this way? Only of that hope that is good. Only of that, the best of mumbles are. Daily warfare.